Find KOIN in Portland, where the time is 10 o'clock.
CBS News, Elliot Trudeau wins in Canada, his victory speech delivered in English and French.
Assurer tous mes concitoyens du Québec, there's still much to do in Canada.
I'm Jim Kilpatrick, reporting on the CBS Radio Network. Trudeau's ruling Liberal Party won a resounding victory as voters rejected Conservative Robert Stanfield's proposed wage and price freeze to curb inflation. The Liberals have won the 133 seats necessary to form a majority government. The election does not automatically return Trudeau to the Prime Minister's office, but as leader of the winning party, such is almost assured.
We have talked during the election about our policies and our programs. I want to make it perfectly clear that they will apply without any sort of favoritism to every part of Canada. If we can succeed, we will show to the parts of Canada that we are not as strong as we would like, that we intend to be a government for all Canadians.
Elliot Trudeau in his victory speech following the Canadian election. CBS News continues after this.
Time magazine. In the current issue, a major study on the subject of leadership.
Leadership. It is a quality that is sought and needed in all societies by every nation. Yet what is it? Where do you find it? Who has it?
Is it a charismatic quality?
The triumph of pure will.
The effective example.
Pure tactical skill.
The current issue of Time tackles these questions in one of the most thorough and timely special sections Time has ever run.
More than half the issue is devoted to leadership in America.
A report on the nature of leadership itself.
How it works.
And doesn't work in a democracy.
Where there seems to be a leadership vacuum.
And why our system of finding and developing future leaders offers great hope.
But Time doesn't stop there. You'll also find a 28-page biographical gallery of 200 Americans who are likely to have significant civic or social impact.
200 faces from every section of the nation to watch for the future.
Time's editors do not suggest that you'll agree with every choice. Time does hope, however, that this special issue on leadership will help you explore and discuss this topic that concerns every American.
Look for the leadership issue this week.
Time, the weekly news magazine.
Now, children, I want a volunteer to stay after school and clean all the blackboards. Johnny, you do that for me.
All right, I need 3 volunteers for a dangerous mission. That'll be you, you, and you.
Since time immemorial, volunteers have not always been very voluntary. One reason may be that the missions involved haven't seemed very satisfying to the volunteer, but the American Red Cross is changing that. How would you feel about seeing handicapped children learning to swim and knowing that you volunteered to help them?
Dr. Scott, emergency room.
How would you feel about seeing hospitalized veterans learning new skills that take away their boredom and knowing that you volunteered to teach them? How would you feel about knowing that a new mother is giving her first baby the right kind of child care and knowing that you volunteered to show her? If being that kind of volunteer sounds satisfying to you, then call your local chapter of the American Red Cross. Make it your own choice to be a good neighbor.
Tell me again, Mommy. You and me against the world. Sometimes it feels like you and me against the world. When all the others turn their backs and walk away, you can count on me. Remember when the circus came to town, and you were frightened by the clown? Wasn't it nice to be around someone that you knew, someone who was big and strong and looking out for you? against the world.
That's Helen Reddy at 10:07 on KOIN in Portland.
The CBS Radio Mystery Theater presents... Marshall, you're just in time to join me on another journey through that uncharted, limitless, mysterious world of your own imagination. It has been said that a man who tries to please two women satisfies neither and succeeds only in vexing himself. So many men have heard of this most prudent and profitable advice. Indeed, they acknowledge it. They agree with it. They even respect it. Why don't they follow it?
Why are we stopping here, Silas?
Such a lovely night.
The sea is so calm. There isn't a soul in sight for miles around.
Oh, yes. It's as if we own the entire world, and we're all alone in it.
Yes. You know, on a night like this, problems seem so far away.
Oh, we have no problems.
We don't. I do.
Oh, what's your problem, darling?
It's not what. It's who.
Well, then, who is your problem?
You are, my dear.
Me? What kind of problem could I possibly be?
A problem I must get rid of.
Silas! 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 What are you doing? No, Silas, if anything you say, please don't! No!
Drama, Too Many Women Can Kill You, was written especially for the Mystery Theater by Sam Dan and stars Larry Haynes. It is sponsored in part by New Sugar-Free Diet 7-Up and Buick Motor Division. I'll be back shortly with Act One.
At a time when a lot of folks are thinking of smaller cars, we'd like you to do something a little unusual. Consider a Buick. Seriously. You see, there's a whole new series of smaller Buicks out there that maybe you didn't know existed. Take, for example, the mid-sized Buick Century. It's a foot shorter and about 1,000 pounds lighter than many full-size cars. Yet it offers Buick's kind of attention to detail and comfort. And that's important, particularly if you're used to big cars. And something else. There's an even smaller Buick than Century. Apollo. The first six-cylinder Buick in years. But it has a quiet way of going about its business that's very un-small car. If you're thinking of buying a new car, do something a little unusual. See your Buick dealer. He'll prove that a smaller size doesn't have to mean less comfort.
The mystery has been solved. For all your shopping needs, large or small, shop the climate-controlled malls of Jansen Beach Center. It's always fair weather at the beach. More than 60 shops and services await your visit to the center so you can make a day of it. Take your time shopping, eat a leisurely lunch, and just browse through the afternoon. We work hard to make our motto mean something. The mall that has it all. Jansen Beach Center, Interstate 5 at Jansen Beach.
18 today, huh?
Yeah, 18. I never had so many decisions.
Well, how's that?
What to do? Go back to school, join the Navy, spend the summer at the lake?
Yeah, I see what you mean. You got one of these yet?
What? Selective service, a draft card. How come? There's no draft.
Well, they aren't inducting anybody, but you still got to register with Selective Service within 30 days of your 18th birthday. That's the law.
Where do you register? Guess I'll have to get on it.
To handle your Selective Service registration requirements, see your local board or phone toll-free 800-452-0283.
It was Sigmund Freud, the master himself, who said, "The great question, which I have not been able to answer, despite my 30 years of research into the feminine soul, is, what does a woman want?" Well,
Such a question may have disturbed the immortal doctor, but not the man you are about to meet. His name is Silas Cunningham. And if you were to ask him, what does a woman want? Silas Cunningham would look at you in all sincerity and say,
well, every woman I've ever met has always wanted me.
And it's evidently true. Because there is one woman who wants Silas forever, even after she's dead.
Go in with her now, Silas.
Is she better, Doctor?
No.
But Dr. Pearson...
Go see her now, while you can.
Silas? Is that you?
Yes, darling.
Oh, I want to tell you...
Please. Georgia, please, save your strength.
I have nothing to save my strength for. Listen to me. I'll be here.
Of course you'll be here. You'll get better.
I'll be here after I'm dead.
Darling,
in this room. In this room. Our room. I love it so much.
Yes, yes, darling.
No one will see me, but you'll see me.
Yes, dear.
No one will hear me, but you'll hear me. You believe that, don't you? Don't you?
Yes, yes, I believe it.
Oh, darling, we love each other so much. We refuse to be parted, even by death. Hold my hand.
My darling, Julia.
I'll come back to you, Silas. I'll never leave you.
Julia? Julia?
Doctor? Dr. Pearson?
Hello, Marilyn.
I was asleep.
Of what?
I'd be stood out.
Now, when did I ever break a date with you, darling?
Why, you're late.
I didn't take the early train to town.
Why not?
Well, I begin each day with a visit to Julia's grave.
Really, sir?
Yes, I arrive each morning at 9 and sit an hour.
And do what?
Meditate.
Oh, you're such a fraud.
Marilyn, darling, how can you say that?
I suppose everyone in the village knows about it.
Oh, yes, yes. The talk of the town seems to be how grief-stricken I am.
You have absolutely no morals.
Oh, but it's true, dear. I am grief-stricken.
After the way she drove you crazy? Oh, was all that just talk? For my benefit?
Oh, Julia was all right, in her way. She made very few demands of me. If it weren't for that occult nonsense she was all wrapped up in, I could have even been happy.
Why is it so important for you to create this appearance of the bereaved and ravaged lover?
Well, when very rich wives die young, certain nasty-minded, suspicious persons may begin to formulate all sorts of evil thoughts.
I understand.
And so for a year or so, there should be a show of decorum.
I still have the apartment.
But there's no reason why we shouldn't enjoy the estate. Boating, tennis, so much to do. Darling, I want you out there.
Well, doesn't that go again?
No. No, no, because you see, I decided to write a book.
Book?
Yes, and I'll need an editorial assistant.
You're going to write a book? About what?
About the occult, the supernatural, the very strong possibilities of communication with the dead.
Oh, but you know as well as I do that that's all nonsense.
Now, please, dear. This book is to be dedicated to the memory of my beloved wife.
Silas.
Now, you have had considerable experience in the publishing field. You were Julia's very best friend. And besides, as far as outward appearances go, we shall be impeccably chaperoned.
By whom?
By the redoubtable Mrs. Watson herself. I shall ask her to stay on as housekeeper.
Mrs. Watson?
Mm-hmm.
Madam Hatchett, say.
My darling, she radiates respectability from every pore.
When do I report for duty?
Saturday. Call when you're ready. I'll have Hastings drive into town and pick you up.
Well? Here's to the book.
And, to other things.
Madam?
Mr. Cunningham, I brought you some nice hot tea. Oh, come now. You must have something. Look, I know how you feel. Everyone knew. It was a real love match, you and that wonderful lady, Mr. Soule. But would Julia Cunningham want you to despair like this?
Thank you, Mrs. Watson. What would I do without you?
Good evening, Silas.
Oh, Dr. Pearson.
You want to fetch me a cup of that tea, Miss Watson?
Yes, Doctor.
Thank you. Mrs. Watson says you don't eat. Thought I'd stop by to see if you're all right.
Oh, I'm fine.
I'm worried about you.
Me?
Your marriage was something special, Silas.
Well, every marriage is special.
You and Julia. No two people ever seem to be more close, more content, more in love.
She was everything to me, Doctor. Everything.
In a marriage like yours, when one partner goes, well, sometimes the other one loses all interest in life. Now, don't let it happen to you, Silas.
Well, I don't care much about anything right now, Doctor.
Get hold of yourself. Don't let your mind wander. Don't shut yourself away. Life must go on. And it can be quite a life for you. She came into all her money last year.
You know, I'd get every penny to bring her back.
Yeah, you would. That's what worries me.
What are you saying, Doctor?
Julia was very much taken with the idea of being able to communicate with the dead.
It was a very sincere belief.
I'm sure you discussed it. Even decided that in the event one of you died, there'd be an attempt at communication from beyond the grave.
Doctor, this is a very personal and private matter between Julia and me.
I notice you say is instead of was.
I'd rather we don't discuss it.
In those final feverish moments, she talked about it. She said...
I know what she said.
She said her spirit would always be in her room.
Doctor, why do you insist on...
Because it's hokum. Sane, sensible people know these things simply can't happen, period.
Well, don't you worry about it.
I worry because in this world there are all sorts of unscrupulous confidence operators who prey upon vulnerable people. People like you.
Well, I can take care of myself.
Your tray, Dr. Pearson.
Oh. Well, one thing's in your favor. Mrs. Watson's staying on, and she's the most level-headed person I know. Mrs. Watson, can I depend on you to keep Mr. Cunningham here out of trouble?
Yes, Doctor. You can depend on it. And you can depend on me.
Mr. Cunningham,
I've got a bead on him now. Oh, darn, I missed him again. Oh, well. It's too nice a day to hit anything anyhow. I just feel like making some noise in the woods.
Mr. Cunningham...
What is it, Hastings?
I don't know. I can't talk to you. I mean, I don't know what...
Well, why don't you start at the beginning, Hastings?
Yes, sir. Look, you know what's just happened to me, Mr. Cunningham?
No. What happened?
Well, I've been fired.
Fired? Well, how could you be fired?
That's what I can't figure.
Well, who in the world could have fired you, Hastings?
Old Lady Iron Pants. I mean, Mrs. Watson.
Well, boy.
Well, I don't know. She comes up to me and she says, Hastings, you're finished. Here's your money. Get out of here. Just like that.
Well, I don't understand why.
Well, she figures with Mrs. Cunningham passed away, she can rule the roost, you know what I mean? She's always had it in for me anyhow.
Why, Hastings?
I guess I'd pop off about her.
Pop off? How?
Well, I was only kidding, but it was about sex.
Sex? Oh, come on now, Hastings. Why would anyone talk that way with Mrs. Watson? Why, she must be at least,
Yeah? How old do you think she is?
Well, late 50s, even 60, maybe over.
Next time, take a good look. She ain't even 40 yet. And she's been a widow 18 years.
Oh. Well, I'm sure we can adjust the matter.
Well, I told her to go soak her head. I told her, Mr. Cunningham hired me. Therefore, only Mr. Cunningham can fire me. Is that right?
Yes, Hastings. That's right. Now, you go back to the garage. You'll have to go to the city this afternoon.
If If I'm to perform my duties in a satisfactory manner, I must have the right to hire and fire, Mr. Cunningham.
Yes, yes, of course, Mrs. Watson. It's just that Hastings has been with us for such a long time.
I dismissed him for good cause. He's a thief.
A thief?
I found out. He's been getting together with some of the service places in town. We've been paying bills for repairs that were never made, for gasoline that we never bought.
Oh? Are you sure?
I'm positive. The sooner he's off the premises, the better for all concerned.
Well, it's just that I would want him to drive into the city this afternoon.
Oh, yes.
Yes, I'm expecting a call from Mrs. Ralston.
Marilyn Ralston, of course. She called while you were out shooting.
Oh? Did she say what time she wants to be picked up? If we fire Hastings, I'll drive in myself.
Oh, that won't be necessary, Mr. Cunningham.
What do you mean?
She isn't coming out this afternoon.
Oh, something the matter?
Or any afternoon, for that matter.
Well, why? Did she suddenly change her mind?
No. But I told her that you had changed yours.
What are you talking about, Mrs. Watson? I never told you I changed
mine. It wasn't necessary for you to tell me, sir. I acted in your best interest.
Mrs. Watson, I'm very capable of determining my best interests. And furthermore...
Yes, Mr. Cunningham? What are you staring at?
That bracelet.
Yes, this bracelet.
How dare you, Mrs. Watson? That was my wife's bracelet.
I know.
Well, what right do you have
to
wear...
She told me I could have it. She whispered it to me.
Well, that's a lie.
The day she died.
It isn't true.
The day she died of... Oh, what did the good Dr. Pearson say? An infection? Nobody questioned dear Dr. Pearson's diagnosis. How fortunate he signed the death certificate without questioning it himself.
Now, you couldn't prove anything.
Of course not. I couldn't prove anything, but... Now, if they were to exhume the body and perform certain tests... but they would never do it. Unless someone suggested it strongly and... As of right now, I don't plan to suggest it.
Well, there you are. You get what you consider to be the perfect setup for the perfect murder. You get rid of a woman who is a thorn in your side, only to discover you've just acquired one who could be a rope around your neck. The rope either gets tightened or loosened when I return shortly with Act Two.
Somebody's been drinking my sugar-free diet 7-Up, and it's all gone.
Well, actually, I saved a little.
Oh, a bear!
Hiya, Goldie. What's brewing?
That's Miss Goldilocks to you.
Oh, come on, kid. You mean you don't remember me? The cottage, the three chairs, the porridge?
Baby bear!
In the fur. Been a long time, Goldie.
But baby bear...
Just call me BB.
You drank all the sugar-free diet 7-Up. And I have to conduct another diet drink taste test today.
Well, yeah, I saw the sign on the door, a professional taste tester, huh?
But how can I conduct my taste test now?
Why bother? I tried those other diet drinks, too. You'll notice there's still plenty of them around. Why not ask me?
Well, okay, BB. Tell me, why did you drink all the sugar-free diet 7-Up?
I like the taste. Light, fresh, natural, sugar-free diet 7-Up is definitely unbearably delicious.
Mm-hmm.
You're driving through town. You pass a sign you may have seen 1,000 times, but never really noticed. The sign of your local American Red Cross chapter. Look behind that sign, and you'll see that the good neighbor is on call 24 hours a day. Not only to help when major disasters strike, but with hundreds of special and personal needs of people in trouble. People who suffer. People you know. You'll find us helping to feed and shelter people when there's a flood or a hurricane. You'll also find us teaching blind kids to swim, new citizens to learn English, and helping addicts to unravel their snarled lives. Across the country, in fact, we get involved in over 100 different helping people jobs. American Red Cross. It's working right where you live. Join us. On her deathbed, Julia Cunningham promised her husband Silas
she would communicate with him from the other world. However, it now develops that Silas may have more trouble than he can handle in this world. It seems that Mrs. Watson, the faithful housekeeper, has discovered that Silas had actually hastened Julia's exit from what is sometimes described as this veil of tears.
Mrs. Watson, what makes you think I would have something to fear from an autopsy?
Isn't it obvious?
Isn't what obvious?
Well, the situation we find ourselves in. Now, if you didn't fear an autopsy, this bracelet would be off my arm, you'd fire me on the spot, and I would be out on my ear. Now, I know.
Just what do you know?
I know I was right about the bottle of poison.
What bottle of poison?
Oh, come, sir. It was in your room. I made a few discreet inquiries. I learned from a doctor that small, steady doses could produce symptoms which might appear to indicate an intestinal infection, and it would be treated as such. Until suddenly the patient would die. Incidentally, that doctor was not Dr. Pearson.
And, just how would I be implicated?
Well, if I were to voice my suspicions strenuously enough, and if the coroner should find poison...
Oh, I see. Isn't it your duty as a reputable citizen to, report this?
Well, yes, it is.
Why haven't you done so?
Well, I could set in motion a chain of events that could place you on a scaffold or in a prison for life. And I asked myself, what would be in all this for me?
Well, the satisfaction that you had performed your duty as a responsible citizen of a democracy.
Oh, I've been doing that all my life, and I have very little to show for it. And so I said to myself, Vera... I'll wait till you didn't know my first name was Vera.
Now, to be honest, I didn't even know you had a first name.
That's true. To you, I've always been the invisible Mrs. Watson. And so, for the first time in my life, I did something different, unusual, unprecedented.
And what was that?
Well, once I thought about me, my own welfare. You see, Mr. Cunningham... You had committed the perfect crime.
Well, how? You seem to have detected it.
Oh, the key element. Dr. Pearson. Old, fumbling, superannuated Dr. Pearson.
Well, he's not all that incompetent.
Oh, no. He's merely obsolete. And you counted on that. You counted on him accepting your wife's death as a purely natural event and getting a death certificate without an autopsy.
Ah. Well... Mrs. Watson, now what? I assume you intend to blackmail me.
Well, that's a harsh word.
How much money do you want?
Oh, I don't want any money.
You don't want any money?
No.
Well, then what do you want?
I want you.
You want me?
Yes.
What does that mean?
What do you think it means? I want to be Mrs. Silas Cunningham.
Would you mind saying that again?
I think you heard it.
Yes, I heard it. I can't believe it.
You know, people like you are completely unaware of people like me. As human beings, our mission in life is to serve, to be useful, to cater to all your creature concerns. But I have feelings. I have desires, emotions, yearnings.
Well,
I'm only 3 years older than you are. That's young enough. There's still time enough for me to enjoy a rich, exciting life.
I've heard of shotgun weddings, but...
Why turn you over to the police? I have a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. Finally, Vera Watson, you too can become somebody. Nobody's maid, nobody's servant. Cross the line.
You know, I wish I could say I admire you.
Oh, well, we'll let a year go by, a decent interval, and then we'll announce our engagement.
I can assure you, Mrs. Watson, you're hardly my type.
Perhaps. But you're mine. And after a while, I'll become yours.
You think so?
Oh, you'll come to value me when you know me better. Oh, by the way...
Yes?
Unlike so many women in love, Mr. Cunningham, I'm not blind. For example, I see how you've been glancing at your shotgun.
Oh, have I been doing that?
Well, I wouldn't recommend anything hasty, sir. You see, I've written a letter to my sister. It's to be opened in the event of my death. Need I say more?
No. I think you've said quite enough.
In life once again.
I'll be all right.
Silas, you're not getting all twisted up in that occult business, are you? You're not getting visits, I hope.
Doctor, I loved my wife very much. And I still haven't recovered from the shock of having lost her. And I wish that everyone would let me alone.
All right, Silas. I'll leave you some vitamins.
Oh, Mr. Cunningham. Oh, good morning, Dr. Pearson.
Good morning, Miss Watson. Our friend here looks a bit peaked. Hasn't been eating much, I bet.
No, but I'm on my way to town to buy some things to tempt his appetite.
I'll give you a lift.
Oh, thank you. I just have to stop by the kitchen to leave some instructions.
I'll see you outside in a couple of minutes. You know, Silas, something's different about that woman.
Different?
No.
In what way?
Well, for one thing, she looks much younger. For another, she's not too bad looking.
I hadn't noticed.
Something's come over her. Now, what do you suppose it could be?
I haven't the faintest idea. Hello?
Hello? Is Mrs. Watson there, please?
No, I'm sorry. She's off.
Oh. Well, will she be back soon?
Well, it's hard to say. She's downtown shopping.
Oh, could you take a message? For her?
Yes?
I'm her sister. Her sister Emma. It's about the letter.
The letter?
A couple of weeks ago, she gave me a letter. And she said I was to open it only in case she, well, she'll know which letter I mean.
Yes.
Well, tell her the letter is gone.
Oh?
I put it in a wooden box with some of my things and, had a fire in the house and everything's been destroyed.
Oh, I see.
So, I don't have the letter anymore. And if it was very important, she'd better send me another one. Would you tell her that?
Yes, certainly.
Thank you.
Don't mention it. Good evening, Mrs. Watson.
Oh, good evening, Mr. Cunningham.
Is this how you spend your evenings, Mrs. Watson? Knitting?
Knitting, reading, listening to music.
Oh, I've often wondered what you did with your time.
Oh, that's not true. I don't imagine you ever gave me a second thought.
Well, for better or worse. Do you know what I like to do on a lovely night like this?
No.
Go out in a boat.
Well, why don't you?
Well, I never cared to go out alone.
Are you asking me to go with you?
Mm-hmm.
Why?
Well, it's part of my courtship, Mrs. Watson.
Oh, you are a remarkable man, Mr. Cunningham.
And you are a remarkable woman. You know, actually, you were right the other night. You're the woman I need. The woman who can hold me in balance. Vera.
Vera?
Yes, Vera. You know, I have the feeling that I'm falling in love with you, Vera.
Mr. Cunningham.
My name is Silas.
Silas.
Vera, I need you. I need your strength and your good sense.
Well, We'll be very good for each other. You'll see.
Oh, yes. Yes, you'll supply the common sense and I'll supply the romance. Now, how about that boat ride?
Oh, I'm very happy. Oh, Silas, life is so unpredictable, isn't it?
Yes, that's the one thing you can say for sure.
A month ago, who would believe you and I would be drifting along out here, close together?
You know, it's getting a bit late.
Oh, do we have to go back in now?
Well, we better. The breeze is freshening. We may be in for a gale. You wouldn't want to be blown out to sea, would you?
Oh, no. Well, we must do this more often. Silas?
Yes.
So where are we headed? We're not going to shore.
That's right.
But you said...
What did I say?
Well, that it was time to go home.
I'm going home.
Silas.
What am I saying? What I'm saying is there's no one within miles, and this should be far enough.
Far enough for what?
Well, you see, you took the boat out tonight all by yourself. And I guess you fell overboard.
Silas!
And here you go.
Oh, no! You must have forgotten my letter to my sister. Don't!
Silas!
I can't help!
Silas! Yes, I know.
I can't help!
Silas! Oh, I forgot to tell you. You had a phone call from your sister. She had an accident last week. She went out in the boat. And she drowned. It was a terrible thing.
But why did you instruct her to tell me to forget all about you?
Darling, I can explain everything.
Well, it had better be a fantastic explanation.
Still want to see me?
Well, I shouldn't.
But?
How long will it take you to get here?
Give me an hour.
Hurry, darling.
Sure thing.
Well.
What?
Looks as if that poor girl's going to get stood up again.
Well, who are you?
Wouldn't be a good idea for the two of you to be seen together.
Now, wait just one minute. What are you doing here? Who are you?
How do you do, sir? I'm your new housekeeper.
Now, see here.
Let's cut this nonsense. I'm your new housekeeper for a very good reason. My name is Emma.
Emma?
You remember? Emma? Vera Watson's sister.
Oh.
Oh. And the reason I'm your new housekeeper is because I found the letter.
First, Julia cramped his style. Goodbye, Julia. Then, Vera Watson had him cornered. Goodbye, Vera. Now, here comes Emma. It never rains, it pours. What are we going to do about Emma? This will be the exclusive business of Act Three. When I return shortly.
You've seen the Budweiser commercials on television, and maybe you've wondered how long people have been putting that famous Bud label on things. Well, not as long as the brewers of Bud have been putting things on the label. Things like a list of Bud's most important ingredients. Quote, brewed by our original process from the choicest hops, rice, and best barley malt. And things like the following statement. This is the famous Budweiser beer. We know of no brand produced by any other brewer, which costs so much to brew and age. Our exclusive Beechwood aging produces a taste, a smoothness, and a drinkability you'll find in no other beer at any price. Unquote. Yes, brewing beer right does make a difference. Read the Bud label. Taste the king of beers, and you'll agree, when you say Budweiser, you've said it all. Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis.
Who knows how to help you solve your shopping problem? Your Better Business Bureau knows.
I saw this perfectly daring mirror in the showroom, so I bought it. But when the truck came, they delivered this thing I never saw before. Now what am I going to do?
How
tell you what to do, madam.
But who are you?
I'm the man from the Better Business Bureau. Now, the first thing to do is to call the store manager and tell him what happened. But in the future, when your merchandise is delivered, you should examine the item before the delivery truck leaves. And if it's to be delivered from a warehouse, have a clear understanding with the dealer that unless it is the same as the sample shown to you, you will not accept it or pay for it.
Oh, thank you.
Just part of my job, madam, to help people with their shopping problems.
Silas Cunningham keep track of all his women. They all fall madly in love with him. They all want him. How does he manage them? Well, some of them have accidents. For example, his wife died of a stomachache. His housekeeper drowned. It seems she went out in the boat by herself and fell overboard. Or anyhow, that's what the sheriff thinks. Now, the latest woman who has entered his life is
Emma.
That's right. Emma.
Yes, I spoke to you on the telephone.
That's right. And I told you about the letter.
Uh-huh. What are you doing here?
I didn't think there was anything to that letter.
Well, there isn't.
Oh, Silas. Silas. When I read that my poor sister... Well, actually, she's my stepsister. Drowned.
Well, you know, she shouldn't have gone out in that boat alone.
Oh, she didn't go out in the boat alone, Silas. You went out in the boat with her. What did you do? Throw her overboard?
Now, you can't prove that.
I don't have to prove that. I still know about the other things.
All right, let's get this over with, huh? How much do you want?
Ooh. You don't catch on at all, Silas.
What do you mean?
I think you're kind of cute.
Oh.
Good.
You know, you're obviously an intelligent woman. Why don't we make a settlement?
What did you have in mind?
Well,
Before you tell me, let me tell you what I had in mind. I can marry you, then sue you for divorce and strip you clean.
You know, you drive a hard bargain.
You'd have been better off with Vera.
I'd have been better off with Julia.
Yes?
Silas,
I'm here.
Oh, no, go away, go away.
It's Julia, darling.
What?
It's me, Julia.
What? Julia, please, what do you want of me? What do you want?
Silas, darling.
What do you want?
I'm keeping our promise. We will not be parted by death.
I killed you.
It doesn't matter.
Oh, Julia.
You are foolish, Silas.
Oh, Julia.
Love is immortal, invincible. Oh. Nothing can destroy love. Love lives forever.
Oh, Julia, I was so stupid. I don't know what happened to me. It just keeps getting worse and worse for me.
I know. You had to kill poor Mrs. Watson.
Yes, and now I'll have to kill this horrible woman, this Emma.
Yes, you must kill her before she destroys you.
Yes, but how can I kill her, Julia? How? Tell me, Julia. Please, tell me.
The poison.
The poison?
Hide the bottle in her room and take a little bit yourself every day, just as you did with me.
But, Julia, you died.
But you'll stop in time. Call the doctor. Complain. Tell him you think you're being poisoned. They'll discover the bottle in her room.
Oh, Julia, please, they'll think she was trying to poison me.
Yes, darling. You see how simple it is?
But why would she want to poison me?
Why did Mrs. Watson want to poison me?
Mrs. Watson?
Of course. It was Mrs. Watson. Don't you see? Emma was finishing the job. Her sister started. I'm dead. Now they found poison in your system. The bottle in her room.
Oh, Julia, please. My darling, Julia, please. My beloved, Julia. Julia.
What's going on in here?
Julia.
Hey, snap out of it. You're having a bad dream.
No. No, that was not a dream.
Okay, have it your way.
Why don't you humor me? I saw she was right here.
Oh, sure.
She's keeping her promise.
Her promise?
Yes, she said she'd come back, and she told me how I could... So I...
Keep it up. What are you doing now? I can have you put away in a nut house. You can have you put away in a nut house. You can have you put away in a nut house. She was here. She was wearing a white dress with blue shoes and a green hat. And there were little men 7 inches tall with heads like pancakes.
Shut up.
What?
And get out of here. Don't you dare insult the memory of my wife.
You better be careful how you talk to me, Tyler.
Why?
You know what I can do.
Yes, but that's all you can do.
Oh, I can put you on a scaffold.
You do that, and you won't get one single cent.
You're bluffing.
Am I? Call it.
Silas, honey, we're stuck with each other. Why not make the best of it?
We may be stuck, my dear. But not for long.
Good morning, Silas.
Good morning.
I hope you feel better today.
I don't.
Breakfast?
No, just coffee.
You haven't hardly eaten a thing for the last 3 days. You got me worried.
Worried?
Yeah, you're my meal ticket. I don't want anything to go wrong with you. Besides, as I said the first day I met you, you're cute.
I don't think I'll have any more coffee either.
What's the matter?
Nothing.
There has to be something.
Oh, well, I have these pains.
What kind of pains?
I don't know. Just pains.
Oh, where?
Everywhere.
Well, you want me to call a doctor?
No. No, not yet.
Not yet? What are you waiting for?
I'm waiting for just exactly the right time.
What do you mean by just exactly the right time?
There's an exactly right time for everything. Now, I better go upstairs and lie down.
Can you manage?
No, I can manage. I can manage everything.
Dr. Pearson?
Doctor, this is Emma. Mr. Cunningham's housekeeper.
What is it, Emma?
Dr. Pearson, Mr. Cunningham's been sick the past 4 or 5 days.
Sick? What do you mean?
Well, he can't eat. He has pains. Looks kind of feverish to me.
Why didn't he call me?
I said to him, call the doctor. He said he wanted to wait.
Wait for what?
Well, he said he wanted to wait for just exactly the right time.
I'll be right there.
Oh, Julia. Julia, why does it hurt so much now? This is only the fourth day after taking the poison. You needed 10. Oh, is it supposed to be this bad? Julia, please. Please come here and talk to me. I'm going to call Dr. Pearson now. I better not wait any longer. Oh, I better call. Maybe my system is different. I only took a little bit. Julia, please. Where are you?
I'm here, Silas. Here.
Is this how it was with you?
Yes, darling.
I can't stand it.
Neither could I. That's why I let go.
Let go?
Yes, darling. Let go.
I can't take it anymore.
I know. Don't keep fighting it.
But I have to hold out until Pearson gets here.
He can't. Save you, darling. No, nothing can save you now.
Oh, Julia, I...
Oh, come with me, darling.
Where?
It won't hurt you anymore.
Oh.
Here. Hold my hand.
Yeah.
Now, come. Sit up.
I don't have the strength.
You do. See? And now, walk.
Oh.
Walk with me.
Oh. I can't stand the pain.
Oh, just a few more steps, darling. A few more steps. That's it.
Now, out in that window, you fall.
Now, let go, darling. You can let go.
Oh, Julia. Julia.
That's obvious. What killed him was a skull fracture. He fell out of the window and hit his head on a rock. Poor Silas. What was he doing near the window, Emma?
I don't know.
Well, did he say anything?
He just called Julia.
Julia? Yes. Well, he simply never got over her death. I suppose he couldn't accept it. Julia.
It was as if he could see her.
Well, maybe it's for the best. There was really no living for him without her. You know that.
Yes, Doctor.
Never knew him even to look at another woman.
Is that right, Doctor?
A very unusual man.
That's true, Doctor.
He's the kind of exceptional person you meet so rarely in this world. All of us will be the poorer for his loss.
You can say that again, Doctor. All of us will be the poorer.
Well, you know what they say. De mortuis nil nisi bonum. Which means, only speak nice things about the dead. And after all, Silas Cunningham paid the price. Ironic, isn't it? So many men envied him his fantastic good looks and his successful way with women. It shows you can have too much of a good thing, but you cannot have too much of mystery theater. I'll be back shortly.
You're 17. Well, that's plenty old. Old enough to know about things like grass and speed and acid and smack. We probably can't tell you anything about the stuff you haven't already heard, or maybe even found out for yourself. So we don't intend to give you any advice. You wouldn't listen. But the trouble is, neither will your kid brother. He doesn't know half of what you know. He doesn't know how dope can affect your body. He's never spent a violent night hugging a friend who is on a bad trip, or watch a guy nod off in class and fall to the floor. He's just a kid, and a real setup for anybody out there selling the stuff. We'd like to warn your little brother. Too bad he doesn't trust us. We can't get to him. But maybe you can.
An Advertising Council campaign. It's all perspective. To Dr. Pearson, Silas Cunningham was almost a saint. To Marilyn, he was a lovable rogue. To his wife, Julia, he was a sincere, devoted lover. To Vera, he was a killer. To Emma, he was a fool. Each of us is a combination of so many people. Have you ever tried to figure out your combination? It may unlock some hidden facets in your personality. On the Mystery Theater, we deal in hidden facets all the time. Try us again. Our cast included Larry Haynes, E.V. Juster, Rhina Rayburn, and Guy Sorrell. The entire production was under the direction of Hyman Brown. Now, a preview of our next tale.
What happened? Steve, you're alive.
Yeah, I guess so.
How are you?
Hey, you're bleeding.
Huh? Oh, I just cut my head a little. It's nothing.
Ah! Oh, I can't get up. I think I sprained my ankle. Maybe broke it. Here, give me a hand, Si. Some sort of jagged rock under my back. Could you move it or help me up?
Get up. Let me see. It's just a rock. Let me get rid of it and then...
Get rid of it? Or use it?
What are you waiting for?
I'm not waiting any longer.
Well, then, for the love of...
Oh.
Oh.
This time, you are dead.
Radio Mystery Theater was sponsored in part by Anheuser-Busch Incorporated, Brewers of Budweiser. This is E.G. Marshall inviting you to return to our Mystery Theater for another adventure in the macabre. Until next time, pleasant dreams.
Hello, it's 11 o'clock at KOIN in Portland.
CBS News. The body of a man thought to be kidnapped American consul John Patterson has been found in Mexico. I'm Ann Crosman reporting on the CBS Radio Network. George Natanson has a report from Mexico City.
Word has been received here that a body believed to be that of the missing U.S. diplomat John Patterson has been found in a lonely desert riverbed near Hermosillo. Patterson disappeared March 22nd from his post as vice consul of the United States Consulate General in Hermosillo, capital of the northern state of Sonora. He was believed to have been kidnapped, but there were no clues over the past 3 months as to his welfare or whereabouts. Positive identification of the body has not been made, but Mrs. Andrea Patterson, wife of the vice consul, is reported to be on her way to Hermosillo from Mexico City, where she has been living since her husband disappeared. Found near the body was a ring with the initials JLP, corresponding to Patterson's name, and AML, the same initials of his wife. The ring also bore the date of their marriage, December 3, 1973. George Natanson for CBS News in Mexico City.
It's reported that $500,000 ransom had been demanded for Patterson's return and that his wife tried to deliver the money but could not because of a breakdown in delivery arrangements. The latest from Canada in a minute.
Hearts wants to round up every brown woman in town and run them out before they run your dog down.
Roundworms can strike your dog or cat. Get rid of them safely with the Hearts Once a Month Wormer. Add it to your pet's dinner every 30 days, and then it'll round up those roundworms and keep them away for good.
Get Hearts Once a Month Wormer at your favorite store and help your dog to be roundworm free evermore.
The Hearts Once a Month Wormer for dogs and cats.
I'm Reed Collins, CBS News. Every day there are news stories that need in-depth reporting, follow-up, background, and analysis. That's why each Monday through Friday, now I broadcast Newsbreak PM. We dig into the details of a major development in an effort to place it in perspective, explore what it may mean, bring you insights into the people involved. Keep up with the facts behind the top news stories. Listen for Newsbreak PM from CBS News Monday through Friday on the CBS Radio Network.
Canadian Prime Minister Trudeau's Liberal Party has won in Monday's parliamentary elections. With only one of the 264 election districts not reporting, Trudeau's Liberals had won the 133 seats necessary for a majority in Parliament. A massive police hunt is going on tonight in Nashville for 8 inmates who escaped from the Tennessee State Prison. 3 other escapees have been captured, and 2 more have turned themselves in. The group made their escape by hijacking a prison bus used to take them from a farm they were working on back to prison for lunch yesterday. Democratic Senator Walter Mondale of Minnesota plans to introduce a bill to cut off all American military and economic aid to Turkey. The bill is in reply to Turkey's decision to resume growing opium poppies. Mondale gives us some background on the issue.
We, a few years ago, appropriated $35 million to pay the farmers for not growing opium. The Turkish government didn't pay most of this over to the farmers. They've now let all of the major illicit drug peddlers and manipulators out of prison. They've removed the top man in the Turkish government who was trying to crack down on opium and heroin, and they announced the resumption and the expansion of opium production without notifying our government.
Before Turkey banned growing opium poppies in 1971, an estimated 60% of the heroin entering the U.S. came from Turkey. More than half the members of the House of Representatives have backed a resolution urging President Nixon to end all aid to Turkey. More news in a minute.
Time magazine. In the current issue, a major study on the subject of leadership.
Leadership.
It is a quality that is sought and needed in all societies by every nation. Yet what is it? Where do you find it? Who has it?
Is it a charismatic quality?
The triumph of pure will.
The effective example.
Pure tactical skill.
The current issue of Time tackles these questions in one of the most thorough and timely special sections Time has ever run.
More than half the issue is devoted to leadership in America.
A report on the nature of leadership itself.
How it works.
And doesn't work in a democracy.
Where there seems to be a leadership
leadership vacuum.
And why our system of finding and developing future leaders offers great hope.
But time doesn't stop there. You'll also find a 28-page biographical gallery of 200 Americans who are likely to have significant civic or social impact.
200 faces from every section of the nation to watch for the future.
Times editors do not suggest that you'll agree with every choice. Time does hope, however, that this special issue on leadership will help you explore and discuss this topic that concerns every American.
Look for the leadership issue this week.
Time, the weekly news magazine.
It was a bad day for the stock market. The Dow Jones Industrial Average dropped to below the previous low recorded in November 1970. The Dow Jones closed on Monday at 770.57. Many investors believe the downward trend is a result of despair over the continuing rise in interest rates. In Cleveland, the Central National Bank raised its prime interest rate to 12 1/4. That's the highest anywhere in the country. And the First National Bank in Chicago hiked its interest rate to 12%. I'm Ann Crosby, CBS News.
Midnight at the Oasis. Send your camel to bed. Painting our faces, traces, the romance in our head. Heaven's holding a half moon, shining just for us. Let's slip off to a sand dune real soon. Kick up a little.